habits of mine where I tend to, will probably tend to ramble. So Wendell offered me a chair. I thought, well, that's really dangerous. If I sit down, I can ramble much longer than I can standing up. So, hello, I'm Wayne. I'm a follower of Jesus and recovering from abuse and from doing really, really stupid and selfish stuff. Struggle with fear and shame and codependency and with having cancer. And tonight with losing someone really special. If you knew Megan, she's one of those people who loved Jesus and cussed a little. Or maybe a lot. It depends on whether you're running or not, maybe. But you know, in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, they lamented and they said, how long and why and what's going on? And I think if Megan translated that, the Megan Davidson Revised Standard Version would be, damn it, Jesus, what are you doing? So I think that's kind of where we are tonight. And so I prepared this a few weeks, or I had this idea, this great idea, to share something tonight that had more to do with what I was dealing with cancer than, you know, obviously not knowing that this was going to happen. And hopefully where you are too, I hope you're grieving the hell of it. So, hopefully it will be helpful to you too whenever that time comes. So the idea is that we should live the life we have. And I was thinking about that with the changes that I have experienced since January when I was diagnosed, and what cancer takes from me, and this idea that I can spend my time trying to rebuild the past, trying to get back to that place where I was. And you know, that's okay, but it seems to me, I guess I've come to that place where it feels like a waste of these moments. And I think that that's not just true for me, but I think it's true not just for me in this season of my life, but for a lot of my life. I spent it trying to be something else or be somewhere else, to not have the past I had, or to have a different present, or to somehow secure a future that I wanted. And instead of just living the moment, living this life that I have, and for most of us, I dare say all of us, none of us have the life that we dreamed of. It's not the life that we would have chosen for ourselves, or when we were little, or when we were young, or if somebody said today, is this, you know, would you change anything? Well, yeah, there's quite a few we would change. And so, if I find myself trying to be a person who doesn't have the past I have, I think that that's a waste, because this is who I am. This is where I am. And if life is going to happen, this is where it will happen. This is it. This is it. There is no other it. I can pretend or rebel or protest, but that does not change the realities. And so when we lose, you know, some, that doesn't change. This is the life I have, and I can either live it or not. And so I think the first part of that is learning to grieve. We talk about in Pathway about admitting we are powerless. And I think that that includes this ability and this willingness to grieve, to hurt. You know, people talk about grieving so that you don't hurt. Well, truth is, if you grieve, you do hurt. You dare to enter into that pain and to experience it. And I think to live the life I have to grieve the life that I don't have. That it's not what I wish it was, that I'm not the person I wish I had been, and I never will be that person. This is who I am. This is what I have. This is the life that I hold at this moment. And so I can enter into that pain and name that life that I don't have. And then I can let go of it. And name those parts of life that I no longer have because of cancer or loss or whatever it is, or because of the stupid, selfish things I've done in the past. And so there's a sense which we have to learn to grieve. As those who follow Jesus, we celebrate and we rejoice, and we want to learn how to embrace those good things of what God does for us and all of His promises and grab hold of those. But I think also we are the only people who really dare and can mourn in the way that is healing for us, because we don't mourn as those who have no hope, but as those who have a hope that's bigger than whatever our loss is. And so we can mourn our past, if it was our parents or somebody who screwed it up, if somebody who hurt us more than they helped us, if we bring scars, wounds, habits, hang-ups, hurts, all of that. We mourn that even it's who we are, and that somehow great, and we either believe that God loves us in that, and that somehow grace has a way to redeem it, our despair is overwhelming, and we run from it, and we hide from it, and we try to change it, or escape it, or fix it. But if we dare to believe that some miracle, that this life we have now, with all of that as part of it, is still a good life, then that becomes something different. And sometimes we mourn the past, our own mistakes, not the person that we wish we had been. Not, you know, maybe we don't have the job we wish we had had, or maybe we don't have the marriage we wish we had, or the health we wish we had, or maybe we're not the person that we expected and dreamed of being. That in all those ways, and we name that and we grieve it and we let it go, you know, because life happens. And that's part of who we are. We don't escape that. And I think we avoid that grief and that admitting that we're powerless because that's work. It's painful. And it takes intention. And it takes the courage to enter into that pain and that loss and that suffering, believing that there's something on the other side of it. It takes courage, because it means that we have to be present with our pain. And then that's what all of our habits and hang-ups are about, isn't it? Escaping pain, avoiding it, trying to make ourselves feel better, somehow ease that loss. And so grief is the willingness to feel that loss and that hurt. And so for me, as I started thinking about this, I was thinking about my health more, I guess. This idea that that I have to accept this fact that I am not healthy anymore, and that my body is not a possibility that I will die. But this is who I am. And if I wait to see if that changes, I miss the life I have. This is the life I have right now. And I can either live that, or I can try to escape it. I can either enter into the losses of it as well as the goodness of it, but I can't do one or the other. I have to be willing to do both. You know, when they diagnosed me back in January, they told me it was stage 4. And when the oncologist talked about the chemo, he said, you know, his words were, this probably not going to work, but there are outliers. There are exceptions to the rule, and you might be one of those exceptions. And most of my life, I've been an exception. I've been kind of abnormal, so sometimes that comes in handy, maybe. And so, you know, that I can either, mean, that's a painful thing to hear. You can either, because not just for me, I mean, I'm an old guy, so I'm not going to win a whole lot more races or trophies or anything. But for my family and for the people who, again, I think there'll probably be a tenth of that if something happens to me. So I worry, I think about that. And so I can either ignore that and pretend that everything's going to be okay and try to live a life that I don't have. But this is the life I have, and I can enter into that. And then I think another part of that is we grieve the past that we don't have, and we also grieve the future that we will not have. And there again, I think it's okay to name that I'm never going to have that life that I wanted to have, that it's not going to be perfect. It's not going to so be the hero of the story. And so to let go of that, and so that I can live the present, so that I can be aware and in this moment. And so we can choose to live the life we have. And the first part of that, and you've heard this a thousand times from Wendell and from me, is to believe that we are loved in this life we have, with the past we have, with whatever it looks like, whatever's involved in it, with wherever we find ourselves, to accept that and believe that in this place and in this moment, we are loved. Not that person we wish we were, not the person we think we should be, not the person that we think if we work a little bit harder, we might become, but this person that I am right now, that this person is loved with an unconditional love and valued. And then I think we watch for the possibilities that this life gives us. Every life has possibilities. It doesn't matter what your past is or what your present is. God is present and at work in every person all the time. Every life has possibilities to be part of what God is doing in us and around us. Every moment, every day, every life, this life I have, still continues to have an unending stream of possibilities that I can step into. Grieving enables me to let go in order that I might step in. And so I think that grieving enables me to be open to a different life than the one I wish I had. That I should be better than I am. And so I need to work harder, and I need to be more disciplined, and I need to love better. And all those things are true. But what if coming short of that is where I am and who I am, and that still there are possibilities for those of us who come short, who are not good enough, who are not who we want to be, who don't have the life that we wish we had? What if even these lives are full of opportunities and possibilities to be part of what God is doing? And so to begin to be open to that and to that hope, so that we don't miss the moment, the life that we have. We don't miss it because we're holding on to the pain of the past, or we're still trying to fix the past or the present, or we're trying to create the future that we think we should have, but instead to live the life we have. To believe that this life is a miracle and a gift to us. No matter what yours looks like, that this is it. This is what it looks like to follow Jesus. With all the pain and the sorrow and the mistakes and the shortcomings and the not good enoughs, this is what it looks like to walk with Jesus. This is it. This is what he offers us. And maybe you think, well, that's not good enough. Maybe I want something better. Maybe the reality is that we don't recognize what we have. That this God loves us. Promises of God. Every promise of God applies to the life you have right now. That whatever it is that you want God to do or wish He was or could be is possible where we are, so that we don't have to fix the past or secure the future, but to seize this moment. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the gift of life, of this life, of the one that we have. And Father, it for sure is not what we wish it was. It is for sure not the one that we would have described if You had asked us to imagine the perfect one. But You dare us to believe that even this one is good. That even in this life that we have, we can taste and see that the Lord is good. That we can know that we are loved and that we can share that love with others. So, Father, help us to accept that we are powerless and to grieve what will not be and what cannot be. But at the same time, in hope and in faith, to look for what is in this life. To see what could be and can be, to recognize the possibilities and the opportunities that this life offers to us. I ask, Father, that You would help me to do that, to not waste the moments, not wait on a future that I think will be different, not to hold on too much to the wish that the past was different, but instead to be found and to find You in this life, and believing that grace is great enough. In Jesus' name.